Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, are you ready to hear the Word of God?
Yes.
Again, I mean, you've heard many words this morning already, and through worship and through people. But we're going to turn the service over to one of your pastors. Honor and my pleasure to introduce to you Pastor Russell Sellers.
You know,
whew. This hat,
we want to steer clear of offense today, correct? So sometimes you have that opportunity. That's all I'm saying. All right, so some of you, oh. Oh, yeah. You wanted to clear that up. I understand. You know, I'm sure in this crowd there's some people here who do not care one thing about March Madness. But how many of you do?
Woo!
Okay, that's good. So, you know, March Madness, it's that time of year when all the basketball, college basketball teams across the country start competing. And but there's, for those of us who are interested, it is nothing but pure madness. It is just crazy. But you know, the teams are known by their colors. You know, so if you were to visit Cameron Indoor Stadium at Duke University, you would see one group called the Cameron Crazies. They're known by their colors. Schools are known by their mascots, their coaches, their star players. And you know, sadly, there are some schools known for their scandals. Everybody got a little quiet on that. You know, and the true fans are no different. How many of you have you got a favorite team, and when they're playing, you refer to the team as we? As if you're actually on the court. You're not. They are doing perfectly fine without you. Or they're losing without you. But anyway, sometimes we get known by all kinds of crazy things. And, you know, although it's not to this extreme typically, you know, teams have their own colors just like gangs. Gangs are affiliated with a certain color. However, you do not want to be caught wearing the wrong color in the opposing team's stadium. You know, and all of them in this March Madness, all teams want to win. But there's only one that is going to win. You know, we're all known for certain things. You know, what we wear, we're known by our jobs, we're known by what we do, what we say, and this kind of thing. We're all known for different things. Last year, our student ministry, we've got a slide of that, we went to Forward Conference and we all wore the same color. Now, you could see that group coming from a mile away. Now, unfortunately, the guy that ordered the shirts, who shall remain nameless, made the executive decision to get heavyweight, heavy-duty, durable T-shirts for June. The rest of that story can be found with our youth. But today, we're all going to be talking about what we're known as. You know, hello, I am what? And I'm sure there's some of you, when I came out, you wonder, what is he dressed like that for? Well, we've got a video to explain that.
More to ogres than people think.
Example?
Example? Okay, ogres are like onions.
They stink?
Yes. No.
Oh, they make you cry?
No.
Oh, you leave them out in the sun, they get all brown, start sprouting little white hairs.
No! Layers! Onions have layers. Ogres have layers. Onions have layers? You get it. We both have layers.
Oh, you both have layers. Oh. You know, not everybody likes onions.
Cake! Everybody loves cakes. Cakes have layers.
I don't care what everyone likes. Ogres are not like cakes.
You know what else everybody like? Parfaits. Have you ever met a person you say, hey, let's get some parfaits? They say, hell no, I don't like no parfaits. Parfaits are delicious.
No! You dense, irritating, miniature beast of burden. Ogres are like onions. End of story. Bye-bye. See you later.
So, thank goodness, that is over. But we all have layers. You know, we can be known as a business owner. Could be. Or, oh, whoops, threw the wrong one. Or the particular sports team. Sorry, Carolina fans. What? Oh, this layer needs to, Luke, will you come help me, please, so I don't, you know, get too crazy on layers? If you'll just hold, this is my son, Luke. If you'll hold my shirt, you guys will appreciate this. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Everybody give it up for Luke. Try to be sensitive. Made that right. No. Hey, look, you know, we just got to take off some more layers. You like my Batman socks? Okay. This is about as me as you can get. Now, in Joshua chapter 2, jumping on into this, so you can say, where is this going? We're introduced to a woman named Rahab. Most of you know the story. Let me read the scripture for you. Then Joshua, son of Nun, sent two men as spies, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. Now, poor Rahab. Rahab the harlot. How many of you have ever heard her name associated with anything else? She's known as Rahab. You can say that in church. It's in the Bible. It's okay. But look through Scripture, because over in Hebrews 11:31, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. James 2:25. In the same way, was not the harlot also justified by works when she received messengers and sent them out by another way? Question is, what are you known by? What are you known as? What legacy are you leaving? Because we've all got these layers and they all make up who we are. Because I do own a business, I do pull for Duke, and I like wearing Chuck Taylor Converse tennis shoes. And Jonathan, I do have a Skillet t-shirt on under this just for you. You know, I like Skillet, which is a very heavier Christian rock band. Jonathan Dillon went with us to Winter Jam. He's part of our youth leaders, and he wasn't a big fan of Skillet. But I was. He's not. Does that make us enemies? Not necessarily, you know. I mean, musical taste can vary, but no, it doesn't. And now I get a text from him the other day. He says, Russell, I'm listening to Skillet on the way to work. And I just, you know, did the evil, mwahaha, because it's part of my evil plan. Let's look at David and Saul. 1 Samuel 17, verses 31 through 40. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him, attacked him, rescued him from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. I think I want this youth fighting. I'll just be honest. I would like a lot of our young people fighting for me because they know what to fight for. Amen?
So, let's see. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, "I can't go with these, for I have not tested them." See, we adults have to be careful what layer that we have that we try to put on this next generation. Now, there are biblical standards for sure that we need to uphold, we need to talk about, we need to help them learn how to adhere and grow in their own walk of faith. But our layer of our walk of faith will not fit their layer of walk of faith. Does that make sense? Amen? But we do it all the time. So anyway, he said he couldn't, and he took his stick. This is great. He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. That's pretty good. David, I think we all know, had a few layers in his life. Can we agree with that? I think most everybody knows the history of David. You know, we talked about it in youth a couple weeks ago. He was a liar, murderer, adulterer, warrior, worshiper, king, ancestor of Jesus. And as it turns out, he's a man after God's own heart. That's a lot of layers. And some of us here today may have a lot of layers just like that. Some of us may have some layers like Rahab or David. But you know, Rahab was also part of the ancestry of Jesus. How dare God let a harlot be an ancestor in the family tree of Jesus Christ? But he did. So if God can do that for his own son, Jesus, he can do that for me. Amen? So how about this? You know, David was not meant to wear someone else's armor. What was for Saul was not meant for David. There's a guy in the New Testament. Everybody knows him. His last name is Bartimaeus. What's his first name? No, I mean, that's what we think. Oh, blind Bartimaeus. Yeah, blind. No, Bartimaeus. Yes, blind. Yes, condition. That was not his name. But we refer to him like, "Oh, Rahab the harlot. Oh, poor old blind Bartimaeus," all the time. I mean, as kids, we're in church learning these Bible stories. Everybody know about blind Bartimaeus? Man, what about sight given Bartimaeus? What about Bartimaeus that can now see? Bartimaeus who once was blinding now can see. What about Rahab who was a harlot and now is not? Because I'm thankful that my story did not stop in some of my mistakes. Just saying. You know, I won't get political too much on you, but with all the attacks on our country's leaders and government digging up stuff from 30, 40 years ago, I wouldn't be qualified to be here. If some of my past was dug up and paraded in front of everybody. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for redemption. Thank God for other Christians who believe in me and gave me chances and opportunities and grace. That wasn't part of the message, but that was free. Martha. But here we go about Bartimaeus. Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard, so obviously the man could hear. He was only blind. So don't assume that just because somebody has one condition that they have a bunch and write them off. It's just a layer. It's just a layer. When he heard it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more. Sounds like a teenager. Be quiet. Yeah, but son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, And I think this is interesting. Nobody went, doesn't say that anybody went and helped him. And Jesus didn't ask for anybody to go help him come here. He just said, call him over here. So they did. So they called the blind man saying, take courage, stand up. He's calling for you. Don't we do that too? Somebody's got a condition, some kind of handicap. Well, get over here. Man, Jesus is here. How about we go there and bring them to him? Just saying. Take courage, stand up. He's calling for you. Verse 50, throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Because obviously the man can jump. The man can walk. The man can hear. But Bartimaeus says, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. So off came a layer. I was blind. That layer's gone. I'm done with that layer. Amen? But he can still walk. Mark 10, verse 50. I want to just focus on this. Throwing aside his cloak. See, his cloak, what I learned studying for this, the cloak, the beggar's garment, was basically a garment registered with the government. And it was given to those who were official beggars. Now, somebody who legitimately could not, because of their condition, whatever it was, could not work and could not provide for themselves. So he was having to legitimately depend on others for his resources, for his living. And yet when Jesus healed him of his sight, and did you notice Jesus didn't touch him? He just said, go. Because his faith is what made him well. Because he was done with the layer of being blind and took that off and threw the coat. See, the cloak, the beggar's garment, represents his source for everything that he had. And he said, you know what? Let's see. This can't be my beggar's cloak. Nobody appreciated that. But, you know, if he's got his beggar's garment on and he's healed, I am done with that. I am moving forward. Because we already know he can walk, he can talk, he can jump, and he can reach out. And now he can see. So, pretty good stuff. In chapter 4 of John's gospel, John refers to a woman known only as a woman of Samaria. The Samaritan woman. What else is she known as? The woman at the well. Yeah, and who had a less than stellar past. But she was known as the woman at the well who'd been married 5 times, living with a man, and no doubt probably carried some shame with that. She was known only by where she was from and what she had done. Now, how many of us in here are known by some layers just because that's where we're from? Or that's what we did? You know what I'm talking about? You know, and Jesus, you know, thank God, he became known for more than just the guy from Nazareth. Because Scripture says, what good can come from Nazareth? Referring to Jesus. Well, I can tell you what can come from Nazareth that's good. Jesus. And I can tell you what can come from a hospital in Asheville, North Carolina in 1962. Me. Okay, a couple of you, good. Some of you are still, I just don't know about this guy yet. I'm just not sure. So, visitors, I am so glad you're here today. It's fun. But she was known by where she was from and by her behavior. But she was used, she overcame that layer to bring the gospel to the people of Samaria. She became an evangelist. In spite of where she was from, in spite of her behavior. So what behavior do we need to, I'm not saying we need to have a confession time yet, but you do need to have some people you can talk to and be really open with and confess your sins. You really do. You need that safe place, a good safe place. But what thing do we need to overcome? What layer do we need to get rid of so that God can use us more than we ever dreamed possible? See, God's got a great plan for us, but sometimes we'd let those layers stay covered. And those outer layers are really hiding a very valuable inner layer. Now, with an onion, what smells the strongest? I mean, that if you get an onion and smell it, it smells a little bit like an onion. But you start peeling that thing back, and then what? You're crying. You start to, I can't even say the aroma because I'm not a big, huge fan of onions, but the onion smell starts coming out. The more those layers start getting peeled back and peeled off. Michelle and I, my wife, everybody say, hey, Michelle. Hey, Michelle. Wave at me, honey. She's not so sure about that. She and I went to a Duke NC State basketball game a few months ago. This was at NC State, and yes, for those of you who are basketball fans, it's when Duke got beat at NC State. Just a second. That's hard to swallow. It's hard to say. That was one of the several losses that Duke has had this year. Yes, Martha. Thanks. Pastor, we're going to get into a big church divided. Now, the church split. Why? What happened? Was it the color of the carpet? That's happened. No, it was because the youth pastor got up and started talking about Duke and Carolina basketball, and half of them left. You know, part of my business, I do sound systems, audio, video, things for churches and schools. And I was doing a sound system install over at Element Church. I'll just call them out and tell you. I better be careful how I say this. Because they are a Carolina-loving church. Now, those of you who are Carolina fans, don't leave here, okay? Well, I'm going over there because the youth pastor likes Duke. Well, I hope the Lord tells you to do that and it's not just your own layer of offense. Moving right along. But they love Carolina, and I have a Duke magnet on the back of my work van. They talked about that, and they said, you know, you need to get that devil out of here. It starts lots of good conversations. I'm used to that. I'm okay with that. You know, so what I told them was, I said, well, you know, some things, Scripture says, some things only come out through prayer and fasting, and doesn't look like any of y'all are ready to fast yet. Okay. Continue what you're doing. We need to get this system put in. But one guy said, you know, it is odd because we had a guy who was on staff that really liked Duke and he's not here anymore. Really? Anyway. Yeah, thank you. I feel the love, Lee. Golly. Anyway, back to the story. So my wife and I go to the Duke NC State game. She is not by nature or preference or inclination anything wanting to do with anything dark Duke blue. Now, my children have been raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord and are both Duke fans. Thank you, Jesus. So we're all praying for the mom, you know. And again, you could say, well, some things only come through prayer and fasting. You don't look like you're ready to fast. I can accept that. So anyway, we go to the game. She's not a Duke fan. She prefers Carolina. But we stop at a little souvenir shop on the way to the game, and I kindly and graciously and generously bought her a Duke shirt to wear at the Duke NC State game. And she agreed that she would wear it. But she didn't say that she would show the shirt. So she had her coat zipped up. And so we're in this sea of red and black and white primarily with little spots of dark blue, you know, and we were kind of, you know, looking at each other. I got you. And I looked at Michelle and she's got her jacket zipped up. I said, you need to show those colors because you are here representing Duke. And she wouldn't do it. She would not do it. She would not be submissive to her husband on that account. And rightly so, because I was trying to make her be someone that she was not. Okay? Now, in the moment, I'm like, man, she needs to, come on, support this man who is here in a big minority at this Duke State game. Now, we're having fun, and it was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. But I thought, you know, that's really what's going on. I was trying to put something on her that she was not for, she didn't agree with, doesn't pull for, has no interest in, and yet I wanted her to wear it, support it, pull for that team. She wouldn't do it. State would get, you know, a three-point shot, beautiful three-point shot, and she's, yay! I'm like, what are you doing? Again, I was trying to put my layer on her. She's not a Duke fan. Probably won't ever be. And I'm okay with that. So anyway, a little over a year ago, down in our youth ministry, we had a Show Your Colors night. These are some of the students that showed their colors. Oh, my kids, look. They got Duke. Oh, Clemson, Duke. And Autumn and Nathan, you got Seattle and Panthers. Okay, so Joni's kids, Autumn and Nathan, they showed their colors. Even the adults got in on it because you were challenged to wear your colors. Jana. But listen, the interesting thing about these pictures, we did not have people showing up with a mixture. Okay? In other words, I sure did not come in with Carolina shorts and a Duke hoodie. No, that you it was obvious what school, what college, what pro team that people pulled for. There was not any confusion. And see, but we do that all the time. We'll wear the Christian part of the time and the worldly part of compromise the other part of the time. We will speak with the word of encouragement and love your brother and then gossip the next day. It's confusing. And to be honest with you, it's exhausting to try to live two lives like that. I know that because I had done that earlier in my life. That was something I had to really deal with, and the Lord graciously brought me out of. And I'm so thankful for that. Because like I say, this is pretty much what you got. You know, and my wife, after we got married, she said that, you know, she had prayed. She said, "You're so much like my dad." I said, "Was that good?" "Yes, because I prayed that the Lord would bring me somebody just like my dad." And so I'm like, ta-da. Because, I mean, you know, there's some things about our parents we don't particularly want to be like. That's okay. Just a layer. Just a layer. But anyhow, it will literally suck the life out of you trying to pull for one team part of the time and another team the other part of the time. It will suck the life out of you. And then people start wondering, well, who are they really for? I hear them do this and I see them dress this way when they're here in this environment. But then over here, they act and talk and behave in a way that's contrary to that. Well, that's like wearing a Duke hoodie and Carolina shorts. It just doesn't make sense. Nobody that is a true follower or fan of either of those teams would do that. And yet we, who claim to be a true follower fan of Jesus Christ, do it all the time. So, just like in March Madness, at some point, even though all these parts of us, all these layers are competing, only one's going to win out. There will only be one that will come out at the end, and that's who we truly are. So like Bartimaeus, we need to ask, what's your cloak? What is your identity? What do you identify yourself as? And in our culture today, it gets even more confusing because, see, what our culture has tried to do is make the Bible fit our culture. And what we need to do is make the culture line up with the Bible. But we do that. Well, I believe this now. Well, the Bible says this, so you need to get the belief coming up under the Bible, not trying to get the Bible to come in and fit up under your life. Because that's going to be nothing but conflict, and it's just not going to be fun. You know, some people are known by their handicaps or their physical appearance and things like this, you know, whether they're negative or positive. And there are a few times I speak at a retirement community up in Arden. It was the last place my dad pastored before he passed away. And so they invite me up there a couple of times a year to speak. Now there, and at several little United Methodist churches around here, you know what I'm known as? Harry's son. Oh, that's Preacher Harry's son. That's his boy. Now, growing up, that got on my nerves. Oh, that's the preacher's kid. Listen, thank you, Scott. Come here. Come, y'all excuse us for a minute.
Thank you. I'll get out.
Hey, listen, I've talked to my kids about that. It's tough being a preacher's kid. Oh, how dare you act like that? You're the preacher's kid. Well, have you seen how my dad acts? I mean, no. You wouldn't say that, would you? Okay. But it's tough being known that way. Because even though they are preacher's kids, and my wife is the wife of someone who's in a pastor and in ministry, that's not their identity. You hear me? Brenda is not identified by, oh, that's Terry's wife. That's Pastor Terry's wife. Yeah, that's Terry. All y'all can't hear her. That's right. That is right. She didn't do that part. That's right. But that is not their identity. That's just a layer. And I might I add, it's a very small layer to the unique creation masterpiece of God that they are. So if you have a spouse who, you know, that maybe their job it takes them out of the house a lot or whatever, and you're known as, well, that's their wife or their husband, whatever, that's just a layer. Don't wear it like a hello, I am his wife, you know. His wife? Yeah, you got to be careful these days. Yeah, you're catching it now. Just a second. You know what else I've noticed? And being in youth ministry, I've seen it degrade to the point that it is. But it's not just our kids. But you're known by what you post on social media. You are known by that. Oh, no, I just put it out there. Yeah, you just put it out there. Oh, I heard one pastor talk about social media. He said, you know, we that's our highlight reel. You got rid of all the outtakes and the stuff that ends up on the cutting room floor of the theater editing room, and you just put the highlight reel up there. This is me. Look at me. Look how wonderful my life is. Look at that. Look what I have. Look what I do. Look where I go. But then it's degraded to the point that, look how bad my life is. Look what I tried to do. Look who I hate. You're known by that. And the sad thing is with social media, it's there forever and ever. And ever. And you can't go back and go, I'll just get rid of that. Well, John 13, verses 34 through 35 says this, a new commandment I give you that you love one another. What? Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. So we all are known by certain parts of our personality, and we may be known by some scars and some pain. Because how many of you, maybe somebody was disfigured by some accident and you're trying to describe them to someone else. You know, it's that person. Well, I don't know how else to put it, but they're disfigured in this way and this and that. Well, that's a layer. That's not who they are. You know, those of you who have been at this church a long time, I used to have a lot more hair. It was down to here. And thank you, Martha. I was getting to that part. Now that you said it, it was a lot thicker too. And it wasn't as gray. I didn't have these highlights, you know, here. But that was just a layer. And it went away. Thank you, Lee. You know, but some of us, you know, we're known by our successes. Others of us are known by our failures. Even your successes are just a layer. You can get wrapped up in the success of who you are, and that can be as bad, if not worse, than being wrapped up in the layer of the failures that just make up part of your life. You know, it's just a brick, another brick in the wall. Okay. Pink Floyd fans, sorry. But, you know, here's a beautiful thing. We're going to wrap this up really quick. Rahab's story did not stop at her past. God is the God of redemption and had a plan from the beginning. That's what blows my mind. God had a plan from the beginning of creation. Him and Jesus and the Holy Spirit sitting up there before creation was going on and said, look, you know what? Here's going to be a plan. Look, I got a plan. This is plan A. There is no plan B. Now, Jesus, you're going to go down here. You're going to be born, okay? But Jesus, can you imagine? Born? I'm already here. Yeah, but we got some people down there that are really messed up. And I really love them a lot. I love them so much. I'm going to let part of your earthly lineage be a harlot, an adulterer, and a murderer, and a worshiper, and someone who helped out God's people. That was part of God's plan. Not like, oops, how did that happen? No, it was a plan. God had a plan of redemption, and he has a plan of redemption for each one of us in here. I don't care what you've gone through. And I don't mean that callously. I mean that it does not matter in the big picture of God's plan for your life. Does that make sense? Yes, I care, genuinely. But I've told youth for the years I've been in youth ministry, how do you, I just don't feel pretty. You know, I don't care how you feel. And people will look, what? I don't. Because the fact is, God made you and he does not make mistakes. And he's got a great plan for you and a hope and a future. This may have happened and you may feel this way, but that's not accurate. Because we've got to get our feelings up under Scripture. Not trying to put our feelings over the Bible and let that filter through. That makes sense? You know, we cannot change our past. Anybody ever tried? Anybody ever wished, hoped, prayed, God, could you erase that incident, that past, that whatever? There was a young lady years ago in our youth ministry, and she had a lot of tattoos, and we were having a prayer, I think a New Year's Eve prayer night up here. And she was up on this altar just crying out to God to get rid of her tattoos. And I went to her and I said, you know, honey, I said, God could do that. I'm not one that would say, you know, well, God could never dissolve a tattoo. I said, but because of that being part of your past, you'll be able to reach people that won't pay any attention to this old man. You'll be able to go places that I would never be accepted. Just a layer. So at the end of the day, oh, I did put that in my notes. We can't change our past or the beginning, but you know what we can change? How it ends. Now, in order to have love for one another, you know, like Jesus said, there are some things that we've got to get cemented down inside of us. And there's some scripture here because, you know, Bartimaeus threw aside his cloak, jumped up, and then came to Jesus. So we have to throw aside whatever layer of cloak that we have, jump up out of whatever we're in, and then come to Jesus and grab onto these truths. He thinks of you a lot. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I wake, I'm still with you. Notice that David didn't say it would outnumber the sand on Myrtle Beach, which would be a lot, more than I can count. He didn't even say the sand at the beach on Lake Lure, because that would be smaller than Myrtle Beach, but still a lot of sand and grains to count. They would outnumber the sand. So imagine that for just a second, that God thinks about you that much and has that. And you know what? His thoughts are not, oh, man, they messed up. That idiot Russell, he doesn't think that. I think that when I don't take my thoughts captive. I think I'm not worthy when I let my thoughts get out of their cage. Anybody got caged up thoughts? You're a child of God, John 1:12. But as many as have received him, to them he gave right to become children of God. John 15:15, he called you a friend. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. Romans 6:6, you're no longer slave to sin. Knowing this, our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves. And you're a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, new things have come. So beyond anything else I have done, beyond anything else I will ever do, what I do want to be known as is a follower of Christ. I also want to be known as a good friend and a good husband and a good father. I'm okay if I'm known as a good youth pastor. That's okay. But that's got to come way below all this other stuff. My reputation as dad and husband and friend and Christian is way ahead of that. Amen? That's what I want to be my cloak, is my identity, is, man, whenever I'm around that guy, he's kind of weird, and he's got an odd way of looking at things, but I do see Jesus in him. I'm okay with odd. I'm okay with weird. I think Pastor Terry says he's okay with weird as long as it's authentic. Isn't that what you said? I'm okay with authentically weird. I left this last slide with that middle part blank because my question in closing is, who are you letting fill that in for you? Is it a circumstance? Is it a divorce? You know, I've been through divorce. That's how I used to identify myself as, oh, well, I'm a failure at relationships. And then God, in his infinite wisdom, brought Michelle and me together. That was part of God's redemptive plan. Now, I'll sit here and tell you, God hates divorce. But he doesn't just cast you aside because of it. I can tell you that personally. I did. I was ready to throw myself aside. But God wasn't. God said, no, wait now. I've got some stuff for you to do. I'm not done with you yet. So who is filling in the hello I am? Is it family members who know you the best and see you at your worst? Hello, I am a jerk because somebody called you that. And maybe you used to be very selfish. Okay, hello, I'm selfish. But you know what? I'm casting that selfish cloak aside, and I'm going to pick up the one that says I'm a child of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Love you guys. Well, Father, we come to you today. Let me back up and just stop. Has anybody ever stopped a prayer? It's okay, isn't it? During this prayer, if you're struggling with who you are, and I'm not talking about, you know, whatever it might be. But you've had your identity in something that somebody tried to put on you that did not belong to you. Like I tried to make Michelle be a Duke fan, or somebody tried to put something on you that you're not and that is contrary to what God said. Then our prayer team wants to hang out with you at the prayer at the altar up here. Because I want to open this up for a time where we can wear the right cloak. Amen? Okay. So prayer team, if y'all will come up and we'll just pray. Charlie, could you come and just play a little music? You know, as great a musician as Charlie Hopper is, and he's phenomenal. I'm gonna tell on him, and he'll fuss at me later, or probably not. But he can play guitar, he can play piano and sing and write and lead worship. The other day I was in here, and he was in the drum booth over here. He wasn't that good of a drummer. I'm just going to say it. He can do a lot.
I walked out of there, the drum booth. I don't think you heard me, but I said, I should have started that earlier.
Right. But here's a beautiful, that his musical gifting is just a layer. That is not his identity. But when you're good at something, you can start to think, well, that's my identity. That's who I am. Now, the beauty of that, he wasn't afraid to get in there and start a new layer, potentially. Practice. A lot. That's why I'm not up here singing. All right, let's pray. Well, Father, we do come to you. We thank you so much for your love and your acceptance. Father, we thank you for the message that has come today. And Lord, beyond the fun and the laughter, God, I know and I hear that you're heartbroken over some in this congregation who have picked up the beggar's garment. Father, there's some here we know that they're wearing the identity of something that you did not call them to be. So if that's you, I just ask you to get up from where you are, where you're sitting, come down and receive some prayer for this. Because the Lord is wanting to set you free from the bondage of the beggar's garment. Whoever that is. Father, we thank you for all that you have done in our life. We thank you for the things that you're doing. We thank you for the things that you want to do. God, and even those of us who have some pretty ugly layers, I just want to say thank you for all of the layers. Lord, thank you for the layers of mistakes, because from those mistakes we can learn lessons. Father, thank you for the layers of bad decisions, because from those you can bring a redeemed life. Father, thank you for the layers of brokenness, of broken hearts, and failed relationships, because out of that can come a new creature, a new person, made more into your likeness and in your image. Father, you are the one that loves us most and knows us best. Lord, I just ask that you would forgive each one of us for the times that we have picked up the beggar's garment when you have called us to be free. Father, forgive us for the times that we have willfully chosen blindness over sight. The times where we have turned our ear and even our voice away from you to go follow after other lovers. Father, and I just hear you saying this, Father, forgive us for being the harlot, for giving ourselves over to intimacy that you never called us to. Father, thank you for the purity that you are restoring even now. Thank you for the sanctification, which means nothing more than being called out. Thank you for the separation from our past. We're not ignoring it. We're not pretending that it didn't happen. But Father, we're choosing today to throw off, to cast aside our old clothes, our old garments, to jump up like Bartimaeus, and then to come to Jesus. Father, you are a good God. You are a good Father who has good gifts for his children. Lord, we're grateful for your open arms here today. We're grateful that you have peeled back all these layers in our life, in our heart, in our thought life. Father, you've even peeled back some of the layers that we didn't think anybody knew about. You've peeled back some stuff that we had forgotten about ourselves. And really all you're wanting to do is get down to the real us. The us that you created us to be. So Father, for that we say thank you. We are humbled to be in your presence. We're humbled that you would even call us children of God. And we're humbled that you would even call us friends. And yet your word says that we are your friends. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for being more faithful to us than anybody ever could. Thank you for your plan of redemption. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.